Good to see everyone tonight. As you can tell already, I'm kind of a heavy drinker, so I had to bring a lot with me. So I'm excited about this week. I hope you all are. And I think I was up at 5 this morning, so I'm still excited. So it's going to take probably till Sunday for that to wear off, maybe not even then. But it's good to be here, and it's good to see you all here tonight. So our theme for this year's Bible conference is publishing the word of truth. And basically that means declaring the word of truth. And it's based off of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And that's what we do here at HBF. We publish or declare the word of truth. So let me just ask you, where can you find truth these days? If you look for the nightly news, you're not going to find a lot of truth. You look in the newspapers. You may even watch listen to the radio. You got to be very careful of what you pick up. And so what really reveals truth? And there's not a lot that does that. And maybe you're in back, or maybe you're here and you're thinking, well, I know one thing that reveals truth, yoga pants. Women wearing yoga pants reveals truth. That may be too much truth that we need. But that's as good as it gets, guys. But, you know, that's sometimes you don't want to know all that, right? But anyway, the Bible is what reveals the word of truth. And I think you all know that. So a lot of the things I'm teaching on tonight, we all know. And but it's the things we need to hear. So we publish or we declare the word of truth here at HBF. And so now how do we do that? So let me just show a few ways how we do that. Number one, by the preaching and teaching and sharing of the word of truth. Everyone here should be involved in these. The word of truth is the word of God. And by discipleship, by our witnessing our lives to people, we reveal truth. And just as Anita was talking about, you had a friend that revealed some truth to you. Anita revealed the truth. And so all of us are in if you know Christ as your Savior, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be revealing Jesus Christ with our lives. But you'll find the word of truth 5 times in your Bible. And you'll see it in Psalms 119:43, and it says, "And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments." Of course, David is talking about the word of God, the word of truth that he has. And of course, we know Psalms 119 is one of the most famous chapters in the Bible that talks about the word of God. And he basically, in that passage, he calls it the word of truth. And 2 Corinthians 6:7, the Bible says, "By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left." And here we have Paul talking about his life and his ministry. And right in the middle of that, you'll see the word of truth. The third place we see is what our theme verse comes out of, Ephesians 1:13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." And our next verse that we see, we all know it. It's a very famous verse that we all know, 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Okay. And then James 1:18 says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures." You also find the word of the truth once in Colossians 1:5, and we'll go there in a few minutes. But then you'll find the word of God 49 times in our Bible. Now you may count those up. I may be one short or two, but 49 times I've counted that the word of God is mentioned in our Bible, but we won't go through all those tonight. I think that would kind of get us too long. So we, not only reveal the word of truth by the preaching and teaching and sharing of it, but we also declare the word of truth by sending out missionaries, pastors, and by having mission trips in which you all can go and declare the word of truth to people outside of your normal daily life. We have a trip going to Monmouth, Illinois. We have one to Boston, both this year yet, that you can be a part of. You can sign up and go on those. We also have a trip going to the Dominican Republic early next year. So prepare to go on one of these trips. Believe me, you'll get more out of it than what you give out. It will enrich your lives. And so we can also declare the word of truth by supporting missionaries prayerfully and financially. And at this church, you guys do an excellent job doing that with our prayer teams and with the support that we give out. And not to pat ourselves on the back, but I'm like, you know, one of the reasons I love this church is because we support missions. I really do. I love that, Brian. So that's why I got my wife and I here, is because you guys are into missions. You really are. And so we also declare the word of truth by assembling Bibles, New Testaments, John and Romans, tracts and books to be used here at HBF as well as to send to missionaries around the world. Our projects that we have done this year will be listed on the screen behind me. In fact, I think I have a slide that we can put on there of the projects we've done so far in 2024. Can we get that up? Hey, it's there. Okay, I don't see it on the back. So these are some of the projects we've worked on. And, of course, we've got all the way up to September the 5,000 Spanish Bibles that we're doing. We're also doing some tracts. Are they? I don't know if they're on there yet, so we'll be doing those. We've got a few Bibles that we're going to get also done this week. So we've got a lot of things going on, a lot of things that's in the works also. So our church is unique in this aspect. And Pastor Randy mentioned in his message on Sunday that there are less than probably 100 churches in our country that have the ability or the desire to assemble the word of truth. And we all have the opportunity here to be a part of this assembly and actually put our hands on the Bible, New Testaments or John and Romans, that will be sent to some location in the world that desperately needs it. And just as Jim Stafford sang in his song, The Wildwood Flower, James, do you remember that song? You do or don't? You don't. I'm going to have to enlighten you, brother. In that song, there's a phrase in there that says, you can take a trip and not even leave the farm. Okay? And so, but here at HBF, you can be involved in world missions by praying for, by supporting financially, and by assembling and sending the word of God from a cow field right in the middle of the United States and never leave where we're at, even though you need to. So I want to let everyone know the Bible assembly work also is a lot of work. Now, you guys have been here since this morning. You've been working all day, and I commend you. And our church will get everybody involved. And that's the one nice thing I like about Bible conference. We can get people from, we can get our kids from about 4 years old to the oldest person that's here involved assembling the Word of God. And I'll just stop here for a minute. A few years ago, there was a little girl that came that was 3 years old. And let me put it this way. She was a handful. And I kept running back to the room, checking. I could just see walking in the room, the checking room, or I think they were actually stapling John and Romans. I could just see that room in complete disaster. And I walked back there, and the first time, I'm like, she's sitting next to her sister, and they're stapling, and she's just working right along. And I'm like, that is awesome. So we can, from the youngest to the oldest, be involved in putting the Bibles together, John and Romans or whatever thing that's going on. So not only, we all know that the Bible assembly is a lot of work. Machinery had to be acquired or purchased. Our two binders that were given to us at the beginning of our ministry have been a blessing, but they're wearing out, so we're at some point going to have to replace those. Trimmers, cutters, and the laminator and tools were acquired. Last year, we asked the Lord for the money to purchase a new trimmer. And through the contribution of many of you, the amount was raised. And we now have that new trimmer out back. We also needed a place to store the equipment. And we were given a portion of the storage area, the building in back. We acquired the middle section of the storage building to be able to have the space needed to do projects. And so we call that building the armory because that's where we make swords. Technically, they're the Word of God. They are Bibles. But that's our name for the building. So signatures, which are sections of the printed pages, which you'll see out here in the lobby, have to be purchased. And we get those from several ministries that print large scale and trucked into us. Covers are now being printed. They're in our print room on the other side of the wall here. And so we have been able to print new Bible covers this year. The covers that we use in our guest bags, on the Bibles in our guest bags, we are printing them here and assembling those Bibles. And so we're also able to custom print covers with whatever information we need on them. And not only that, we are able to print and insert discipleship lessons that we put in many of our Bibles. So many of you know this, I know. But, you know, it takes a lot of people to run things. So again, not only during the Bible conference, but we also work two Saturdays a month on average in our armory doing projects. So we have a fantastic group of men and women that work on them on a monthly basis. I thank all of them. And, but you know what? We always need some more. So come and be a part of that. And it also takes, well, I'm just going to say it. It takes some money to run this ministry. And so paper, signatures, glue, boxes, knife blades, all types of tools and materials, not to mention trucking. And, you know, as everything else, everything keeps going up and up, right? And so right now it's costing us $1.40 to put together a New Testament. And then it's costing us around $4.50 for a Bible. So every Bible that goes through here is roughly costing us $4.50. It just jumped up quite a bit right there. Inflation hits overnight. Now, $4.50. Okay. And so Pastor Randy had an excellent message on Sunday of why we need to put together the Word of God. And he listed seven reasons why. So I'm not going to mention those, but go back and listen to that message. Seven reasons why we should all be involved and putting the Word of God together. And I want to just kind of add to that tonight with the message that I have. So why put Bibles together? And I want to talk about that. Number one, the Word of Truth is where salvation starts. It's where our relationship with God started. Okay? So I want you to go ahead and turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. You know, I used to be one of these guys that would say, okay, preacher, why don't you hurry up and get to the part and start preaching? Why are you talking so much? And now I'm the guy that goes on and on. So I'm not going to mention names, but anyway, Ephesians 1, chapter 1 and verse 13 says, and I want you all to read this with me. Let's read this in unison, okay? In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Okay. And so that's basically the salvation process, right? You hear the word of truth being spoken. You believe the gospel. You trust in the gospel. And that's the process that it took for us to get saved. Now, a lot of us have gone down Romans Road and we use that. But there's all places in the Bible that basically give us these components. Okay? We'll see it in the book of Ephesians. We'll see it in other books of the Bible. And it's basically the gospel message. Okay? It's the word of truth is where salvation starts. Someone had to give you the gospel. Someone had to give you the gospel from the word of truth. All right. And then you hear it. And you believe it and you accept it. It's that simple. Right. And I've talked to people and they go, well, you know, I just got the Bible and I sat down and read it and I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but that is rare. Most of the time, you'll hear someone give the gospel out And it may take several times. And then it'll finally click. And you'll realize, I need to trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Okay? It's like our children on the E-Wing. We teach them the Bible stories. And many of us have been in vacation Bible schools or church when we grew up. We know the stories in the Bible. And yet we get to a certain point when someone gives us the gospel and it's just like the Holy Spirit is telling us we need to receive, you need to receive Christ today. That's how we got saved. Okay. It is tied to the gospel. It is tied to the word of God. Okay. So turn over to James chapter 1 and verse 18. So I'm going to have you all go through the Bible tonight. I don't have anything on slides. I don't have a PowerPoint. So we're just going to open up the Bible and actually see what it says. And so in James chapter 1, and I want to start in verse 18 and read down to 21. And it says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So we know the word of God, the word of truth, is involved in salvation. Okay. But the word of truth also gives us the knowledge to know Christ. And so go back to our passage in Ephesians chapter 1, and we've basically just read Ephesians 1:13. But I want to go ahead and read verse 13 down through 19. And then back up and look at it. And verse 13 says, Ephesians chapter 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye were believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So in the book of Ephesians, and let me just lay this out, the book of Ephesians shows us who Christ is. It shows us what we receive the moment we accepted him as our Lord and Savior. And so it's basically showing us here, and it gives us the knowledge to know Christ, to know God. Let me just say this. People need more than salvation. Now, I know everybody's sitting down. Hopefully you didn't pass out. Salvation's just where it starts. People need more than salvation. God wants his children to know him. And to know his son, you need to know his knowledge. And to know his knowledge, you have to have his word. Let me say that again. To know God, you must have his knowledge. And to have his knowledge, you must have his word. You know, there are a lot of people that go, well, I can go out on the riverbank. I can go to the mountains. I can go to the sea. And I can just sit out there and I can just see what God has created. I can just feel close to God. Yes, you can. You can know there's a creator by the things that you see. But you can't know God unless you have his word. You have got to have the truth. Okay? So God's word, the word of truth, gives us the knowledge to know Christ. Okay? God gives us His spirit of wisdom and revelation in His knowledge. We read that in verse 17. God's knowledge in that verse produces wisdom and revelation. You've got to have His knowledge first before you get the revelation in His wisdom. Okay. And God's knowledge also reveals the hope of His calling in verse 18. And so what's He talking about there? Well, He's basically revealing to us that that's basically a reference to meeting Christ and receiving an incorruptible body that we'll receive at the rapture. So turn over to Colossians 1:5. And we'll be coming back to Colossians a little bit later here in a minute. But Colossians 1:5 tells us, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Okay. And again, that reference is talking about receiving an incorruptible body when we meet Christ. But God's knowledge also reveals our inheritance that we hold on to. Hold your finger in Colossians because we'll be back. But back in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18, it talks about God's knowledge reveals our inheritance. Okay. All right. So I've got one more place for you to go. Go ahead and turn over to 1 Peter 1. And we're going to look at 3 and 4. First Peter chapter 1, 3 and 4. Said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Okay. So again, the God's knowledge reveals our inheritance. So the word of truth reveals God's knowledge of our, basically of our relationship with Him. Okay. And then the word of truth also gives us the knowledge to serve Christ. So in the book of Ephesians, it's basically lining up how, what we got when we received Christ as our Savior. It shows us who Christ is and the relationship we have. In the book of Colossians, it gives us the knowledge of how to serve Him. And I love those two books. And those of you that are in my class know I probably can't teach without saying something about Colossians. So yes, here we are. Okay. Colossians and Ephesians are very similar when you read your Bible. They're very similar. So the word of truth gives us knowledge to serve Christ. So turn, if you're still in Colossians chapter 1, I want to read that, verses 1 down to verse 12. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And let me just stop there. So what we see in the book of Colossians is basically that the word of truth gives us the knowledge of how to live for Christ, where Ephesians shows us what we got when we accepted Christ. Colossians shows us how to live that out. That's what I love about the Bible. It's so practical. It's just basically, here's what to know, and here's what to do. And so, here we're seeing it. We've got to have God's knowledge. Number one, to know Him. Number two, how to serve Him. All right? And so the word of truth reveals God's knowledge on how to live for Him. But the word of truth also reveals God's blessings. And I could probably go on all night, so I'll start wrapping things up here. So turn back again to Ephesians chapter 1. And the word of truth reveals God's blessings. So let's read verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Now, I'm sure, you know, we get a good preacher up here. He could probably preach on that for a long time. All right? But the Word of God reveals God's blessings to us. Okay. So let's think about this for a little bit. God has chosen us. Now, I know in the book of Ephesians, that's where our Calvinistic brethren that are like to hang out in. But at the same time, we need to see what it says. So don't let that hang you up. Okay. Everything written in the book of Ephesians is talking to people that are saved, people that are in Christ. That's the key words. And we see here that God has chosen us. God has predestinated us. Romans 8:29 tells us that we've been predestinated to be conformed into the image of Christ. Not only that, God has accepted us. Can you imagine that? Being dirty, rotten sinners that we are. And yet, I'm accepted because of Christ in heaven. Okay. So maybe you've been in a church, our church for just a little bit. Let me just say this to you. We hope that you feel accepted because that's our desire for you all. And so have you ever been any place where you're just kind of out of your element and you're just feeling kind of, I'm just going to sit over here in the corner and not say much? Well, that's me half of my life. But anyway, that's not what we are like with the Lord. He has adopted us into His family. We are family to Him, okay? We have been accepted. And so I'm just going down some of the blessings here. God has accepted us. God has redeemed us. He has made us free. Okay? Turn over to John 8:32. I'm going to camp here for just a couple minutes. John chapter 8 and verse 32. Very famous verse. We probably all know this. We've heard it quoted quite often. We've heard it misquoted quite often. Okay. So I want to point this out to you. John 8:32. And it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall," what? "Make you free." Now I see that quoted all the time, that the truth will set you free. I haven't been set free. You haven't been set free if you're saved tonight. You've been made free. There is a difference. There is a difference. Okay. Jesus made us free. Turn over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. And I know I'm bouncing you guys all over the place. But this is a Bible conference. Okay. So Romans 8 and verse 2. Says, "For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Go back to chapter 6 and verse 18. chapter 6 and verse 18 of Romans says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Okay. And then I want you to go turn over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. When we received Christ as our Savior, he made us new. We are a new creature. What did that? The word of truth. The word of truth. Okay. And then God has made known to us, back in the chapter that I read in Ephesians, God has made known to us the mystery of his will. And Colossians 1:27 tells us that that mystery is Christ indwelling in us. Another blessing that God's given us. God has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. He's given us an inheritance. How do you know that? If you don't have the word of truth, you don't know it. Okay. The word of truth reveals God's blessings for us. The word of truth reveals his promises to us. The word of truth is our manual for living. Everything that we need is in this book. You know, we are very fortunate to have the word of truth in our language. Now, I have several Bibles in my house, and I'm sure you do too. I have a Bible in my bedroom. I got one in the kitchen, in my office. I've got several in the entertainment center, in case you come to my house and just need a Bible. I've got one on the dash of my truck. I have the Bible that the church gave me when I was baptized. I never get rid of anything at my house. Just ask my wife. I have study Bibles. My main Bible's in Oxford, wide margin. And I got a large print Cambridge, which I brought with me tonight just so I could see it. Okay. And I, as some of you, we keep getting a little dimmer as the older we get. But I got a lot of Bibles in my house. I've got a loose leaf Bible. I've got several boxes of Bibles that we assembled here, and I take them places and show other churches what we can do. And so basically what, you know, I've got a lot of Bibles in my house, and it breaks my heart that there are people all over the world that don't have a Bible. And yet we've got so much. Okay. You know, there are people around the world that have not even seen a Bible, let alone read a Bible, or maybe they don't even have a Bible in their language. Not good. Not good at all. Many people can't afford one around the world. You know, we can send a salvation message across the airwaves, and that's great. People get saved. But how are they going to live their life unless we get them a Bible? We've got to get people Bibles while there's still time. Okay? How are they going to know God's promises? How are they going to know God's blessings? How are they going to know God's power? How are they going to know how to live their life for the Lord Jesus Christ unless they have a manual of their own? Okay. How are they going to know his knowledge? How can they fully know him? So, how are they going to know the truth? It's the church's responsibility to preach and teach the word of truth. And it always has been, all the way back to the book or the Church of Antioch. And it's the church's responsibility to protect and publish the word of truth for the world now, as well as to pass it along to further generations that live behind us. So I have the relationship that I have with the Lord Jesus Christ now is because I have the word of truth. It has made me who I am today. My wife has a relationship with Christ because of the Bible she has in her hands. And you all have a relationship with Christ because of the Bible that you have in your hands. All right. If your house was to catch on fire tonight, I don't know what you would grab. But a lot of us, and we should be grabbing our Bible. Not only that, I got a lot of notes in my Bible, and I don't want to put them all back in. No, my Bible is it. I want that, you know. Grab the Bible. Grab the kids. Grab your spouse. Grab the Bible and, you know, head out. But, yes, what's important to you? What you put value on? And it should be our Bible that we have. We also should have a burning desire to help others have a Bible in their hands, so they can have a relationship with Christ like we do. That's it. That's a bottom line. We've been fortunate enough. We've had people get us a Bible. We've had people die to get us His Word. I just watched a movie that I think last week about William Tyndale. It cost him his life to get us this English Bible. And so we need to remember that. And yet, tomorrow night, Aaron and Jonita Vogli will be here, and they are translating the Bible into Albanian. They are a modern day William Tyndale. They really are. So when they come tomorrow, we need to just love on them. Okay? But, you know, we should have a burning desire to help others have a Bible in their hands so they can have a relationship with Christ like us. That's why we assemble Bibles, because we want people to truly know our Lord and Savior. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll get to finish up. Father in heaven, we come before you tonight, Lord, and we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you have saved us from our sins through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Lord. And yet we thank you, Lord, that you have given us your word, that we may know the truth, that we may know all things that you desire us to know, that we may be filled with your knowledge. And Lord, I pray that we would just live that out in our life by what we do, by what we say, and how we conduct ourselves to reveal Christ in us so other people can come and know you. So I pray for that for everyone that's here, Lord, that when we leave here, we would just continue to be a witness for you, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the people that are coming in this week. I pray you'd give them a safe passage. I pray you'd give us a good week as far as putting your word together and the machines would work. I pray for the safety and health of the people that are coming. And I pray that we would be successful in accomplishing putting those 5,000 Bibles together for you, Lord. And I just pray for the rest of our conference that things would go well. And Lord, we want to give you honor and glory for the things you've given us, and thank you for the blessings that you've given us. And we want to thank you for the word that you've given us. And Lord, I pray that in all our, and with all my heart, and in Christ's name, amen. All right, so I have a few more announcements, maybe not a lot of announcements, because we're going to get to work. And so, I don't know, most of you have been here before, but we're going to go ahead and collate out in the lobby, so you can be a part of that. We got some rooms where we're rolling the spine. You can, over on the west wing of our church, you can be involved in that, checking the Bibles in the room behind that. And so we'll get that going tonight. Our binders probably won't get started tonight, but they will in the morning. We will start tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. And we're going to hit the ground running, because we are ready to start assembling Bibles right now as we speak. And so we've got 3 days to get 5,000 Bibles together. And we're going to have a great time while we're doing it. We're going to have some good speakers at lunch as well as at night. And then Sunday when we come, Brother Joe Hendricksman will give us our final message. And then we're going to march out and pray over the Bibles. And so we have a lot going on this week. And we need as many hands on these as we possibly can. If you have any questions, grab me afterwards. I'll be happy to help you. and we'll go from there. Anything else we need, Pastor Brian? All right, so let me just pray real quickly one more time. I can't get you out of it without praying, and then we'll go from there. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd give everyone a safe trip on the way home tonight. But first, Lord, I pray that everyone here gets an opportunity to put their hands on your word somewhere in our building. And I just pray that it would help move the process along. And, Lord, we just thank you again for loving us and putting your word in our hands. And in Christ's name.